at the Harvard School of Public Health Prevention Research Center. And today we want to talk to you about something a little different. It is a randomized controlled trial that we recently did right here in Boston called the Out-of-School Nutrition and Physical Activity Intervention. And specifically, we were focusing on improving nutrition and physical activity policies in after-school programs. I just want to quickly acknowledge my co-authors, Katie Giles, Madeline DeBlois, Shireen Chinfat, Steve Gortmaker, and Angie Craddock at the PRC. I have no financial relationships to disclose, everybody's favorite slide at this point, but did want to acknowledge our work was supported by the CDC Prevention Research Center program, as well as the Donald and Sue Pritzker Nutrition and Fitness Initiative and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So why talk about after-school programs? They're a relatively understudied setting compared to schools and childcare environments and other environments that children inhabit, but they have a lot of promise. They reach about 8.4 million children in the U.S., and on average, kids are spending about 8 hours a week in these kinds of programs. And we know that they have the potential to positively influence nutrition, physical activity, and screen time behaviors. Some emerging intervention evidence suggests that you can modify staff physical activity behaviors and environments to actually increase children's physical activity, and also that food service can be changed to provide healthier foods and beverages. So there's a lot of opportunity here to promote health. In terms of the existing policy structure in these programs, though, it's a little vague. At the federal level, there's really all we have are federal meal standards for programs that opt into the National School Lunch Program, or CACFP. And these are voluntary, and they're also actually, specifically in after-school programs, they're pretty broad. They haven't had the same kind of updates that have happened with school lunches. And, you know, at the state level, there may be regulations that specify nutrition or physical activity practices for licensed programs, but we don't really know very much about the landscape for that, and that also appears to be kind of vague at this point from what we do know. Then sort of moving down to the next level, there are sponsoring organizations like the YMCA of America or the Boys and Girls Club, which sort of can oversee a bunch of programs within a region, and they may have policies. And then down at the last level, we have program-level policies and documents and rules. But in general, there's not very much known about the policy structure at these programs, and they tend to, what we do know, it seems like there's a lot of room for improvement. So in this study, we wanted to address kind of two gaps in the literature. First, we wanted to be able to see if we could measure what after-school programs policies actually prescribe in terms of specific nutrition, physical activity, and screen time practices and environments. So what is the content of the policies that programs have right now? And two, we wanted to see, could we actually build capacity among after-school staff to develop policies that align with best practice standards and that work for their program? So a brief overview of the study. Our sample included 20 after-school programs right here in Boston. And our design was a cluster randomized controlled trial. The unit of randomization was the program. This was also a delayed intervention. So our intervention programs received the intervention over a school year, and then our control groups received a delayed intervention the next year. And the basic overview is that participating programs were asked for copies of all of their written documents containing any rule or policy at baseline. So this included things like staff handbooks, official letters to families, joint use agreements, and things like menus and schedules. As Jamie was talking about school wellness policies at the district level, had we been doing a study on that, we would have asked for their school wellness policy, but this is basically all we could get. There's really not very much structure to the policies as it stands right now, so we were looking at any kind of document. And what we did was assess for the presence of nutrition, physical activity, and screen time best practice policy statements at baseline, administer the intervention, and then assess again post-intervention. So how we assessed these policies was using this tool that we developed called the Out-of-School Time Policy Assessment Index. And this was modeled after document review protocols that are used in child care and school settings. You may be familiar with the WellSAT or WellCat document review protocols, or the EPAO from the NAPSAC studies in child care. And basically what you get to do with this is you compare language in a policy document to a sort of list of best practice standards and see how many of those standards are met to sort of get a gauge of the policy quality. So for our tool, we pulled 78 main indicators from either the research literature at the time or national recommendations. And these covered, for this study, six domains. So snacks, beverages, physical activity, screen time, communications with family and staff. And then for our specific study, we created a domain called the OSNAP standards that followed the standards that we were trying to encourage programs to meet through this intervention. So for each indicator, each of these best practice indicators, a reviewer reads through the documents and rates whether the policy contains content that matches the indicator, just a yes or no. So for example, one indicator is, you know, do not serve sugar-sweetened beverages during snack. So if we saw something written in the document that specified that the program was not going to do this, we would give them a yes, and they would get a point, basically. All the policies were double-coded by two raters independently, and then discrepancies were resolved, so we'd have a final score at the end. And then we created summary scores for each domain. So within the beverage domain, if you had a policy on water and a policy on sugar-sweetened beverages, and those were the only things you had, you would have a score of 2. So each point in the score represents a different policy standard that's met. And we also assess the inter-rater reliability and constructability of this tool, and I'll discuss that in the results section. So in terms of the OSNAP intervention, a broad overview, this is a multi-level community-based participatory research approach, and we focused on policy, systems, and environmental changes. So there were other components to OSNAP besides policy. There were practice changes, food service changes that a lot of my co-authors have done some work on. But this is just talking about the policy changes here. And the basic model was that you assess programs at the beginning, programs learn about sort of the areas for improvement that they may have, learn about some best practice ideas in the field and get some tools and resources, identify goals that they set for themselves that they want to change at their program, implement them, communicate them to staff, families, parents, children, and then keep going through the cycle, so it's a continuous cycle of improvement. And what we did in the trial, and what we do as part of the process for delivering this intervention, is have a set of three learning collaboratives where after-school staff are brought together to sort of share ideas and set goals. We also had a set of the OSNAP standards, which I think I mentioned earlier, which were just something to try and focus the goal setting for folks, since 78 indicators of best practice is kind of a lot for people to focus on. And these were developed actually prior to the intervention in collaboration with the YMCA and with local after-school program leaders to sort of get a sense of what are some physical activity and nutrition and screen time goals that we can really try to meet in these programs. So, an overview of the specific policy component for OSNAP. We collected their policy documents at baseline. We analyzed them using the OST Policy Assessment Index. And then we generated reports for the intervention programs that highlighted sort of existing policy statements that, met their goals and some areas for improvement that they might want to focus on. Then the after-school staff reviewed the reports and did set their goals. And moving on through the next learning collaboratives, we provided education and tools and resources in developing program policies. Then at the end of the intervention, we collected the documents again and reassessed using our tool. So I don't know if you can see what this looks like. I wanted to just give you a visual of what folks were getting. But at the first learning collaborative, starting off the OSNAP intervention, they would receive a report that looks like the report on the left, where they would have sort of a list of different policy goals and then sort of a check mark indicating whether they met the policy or not. So this program, this example program, if you look at that far left corner, only had two statements supporting those OSNAP goals. So we were kind of highlighting, like, these are some areas where you might want to focus on. And then on the right, they also received this action planning grid, which was developed to sort of help them focus on what their goals were and what they wanted to do. So you can see there's practice action steps there, and also policy action steps right here, where they would sort of pick a couple of key targets and then sort of think about what their timeline was for getting to those targets. At the second learning collaborative, we focused more on actual tools and resources that they could use to build capacity in developing their program policy. So a key to this was this OSNAP guide to writing after-school wellness policies, which listed out, again, these sort of goals that we wanted them to focus on and some suggested language that they could actually just sort of paste right into their documents or adapt to make them amenable to their programs. And then that sort of focused on actually changing the policies. And then at the last learning collaborative, participants shared their changes to their documents and then their experiences and tips with one another so that they could move forward. So on to the results. Briefly, these were the characteristics of our participating programs. These were all in the city of Boston, and they served mostly the Boston school population. So it's a largely Black and Hispanic population that was served, a largely low income. And most of our programs were actually pretty big. I mean, they served, you know, in intervention, the mean was 62 kids served, in control was 83. So this is kind of what our programs looked like. There were no significant differences in these demographics at baseline. In terms of the out-of-school time policy assessment index, this table shows for each domain score the possible range, the mean at baseline, and the inter-rater reliability and construct validity results. So you can see here that the mean baseline scores were pretty low. A lot of these programs really didn't have any policies. Some programs actually didn't have any written documents at all, even having to do with safety or anything else. They just didn't have any policy structure whatsoever. So there was a lot of room for improvement. And we happily found that we had some pretty good inter-rater reliability results. So we used Spearman's correlation coefficient to compare the two raters before the discrepancies were resolved. And the coefficients were pretty high, and mostly above 0.8 for most of the domains except for screen time. And for construct validity, what we did was, you know, we would have loved to have done a criterion validity assessment, but we didn't really have a criterion. So we hypothesized that our measure should at least be able to differentiate between YMCA and non-YMCA programs in Boston, because we knew that YMCA of Greater Boston had just implemented a nutrition and physical activity initiative. So we figured that they would have a more robust policy structure, and the tool should be able to differentiate between these two groups, which it generally did, except for the communications domain, which was not really a focus of their initiative as much, so we weren't as worried about that. So there's some evidence for construct validity here. In terms of the intervention results with working with staff to improve program policies, this table shows results from linear regression models that look at the changes from baseline to follow-up in policy scores across the different domains. And these are adjusted for matched pair status, because the intervention control programs were matched on sociodemographics. And what we find, just as a reminder, each sort of point in one of these scales is representative of an additional policy statement that meets a best practice. So what we found was that in the OSNAP domain, which was, again, the main focus of our intervention, intervention programs had about three extra policy statements at follow-up that they had newly written that would sort of support the OSNAP goals. And we found across most of the other domains some improvements as well, about 2.5 additional statements for nutrition or snacks, 2 statements for beverages, 1 statement for screen time, and 2 statements for improving communications with family. So we were really encouraged by these results that showed that, you know, program staff had actually written some new policies that could actually support some of the changes they were making. So just to summarize our findings, we found that the OST Policy Assessment Index was a reliable tool, with the correlation coefficient ranging from 0.84 to 0.97 for most domains. I don't want to keep you from the raffle drawing. I also want to emphasize that, you know, this tool could be used for evaluations of other after-school program policies, not just OSNAP. I mean, we created this OSNAP domain for our study, but the tool is broader than that. It's designed to look more broadly at sort of these different domains and could be adapted for other uses. We also found that the OSNAP intervention was effective at increasing the number of policy statements supporting a health-promoting after-school environment. In terms of implications, this randomized controlled trial demonstrates that it's possible to build staff capacity to develop nutrition, physical activity, and screen time policies, which we were really jazzed about. I mean, the fact that this actually seemed to work at empowering staff to do this. And given the high staff turnover at after-school programs, policy change may provide an avenue for making practice and environmental changes sustainable. It's the hope that having something written down that can stay over time will help some of these changes live on, should there be staff turnover. So looking ahead, we're very interested in, you know, what do after-school program policies look like in other areas of the U.S.? This was just in Boston, so we would be really interested to know what's going on in other communities, especially in programs that look different than the ones that we worked with. Another key question is, you know, do these changes in policies actually then predict changes in staff practices and student behaviors? The ultimate goal is for improving child health, right? So we know that things changed in their written documents, but we're not as sure that those changes necessarily bring about practices. There is some evidence from Michael Beetz's group that has done a lot of studies of cross-sectional associations between policies and staff behaviors and child behaviors, and it's a little bit mixed. So it'll be kind of interesting to see moving forward how that looks if change predicts change. And lastly, thinking back to that slide about federal and state and local policies, we're really interested in how these program-level policies interact with policies set at higher levels and whether we can sort of measure what's going on at those different levels and see how they align, with the goal of really trying to get a alignment between these different levels and a consistent message for programs. So, thank you very much. If you are interested in OSNAP and would like more information, we have a new website, www.osnap.org. We're actually in the implementation and dissemination phase of OSNAP right now, so I encourage you to visit if you are interested or if you know of folks who may be interested in participating in this. And I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.